Fox and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano, and the NFL has a new most valuable player.
And the AP most valuable player presented by Invisalign is... Josh Allen.
Okay.
Allen led the Buffalo Bills to a fifth straight AFC East title.
I'd like to acknowledge the other nominees. Jared, Joe, Saquon, Lamar all had great seasons and all could be standing here today, and you guys would be deserving of it. So you guys are true stewards of the game. I look up to you guys. I admire you guys. I just look forward to sharing the gridiron in the future with you guys, too.
Thanks to NFL Network and Fox TV. CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett is looking into issues involving Elon Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency Task Force.
Elon Musk, personally, has about $2.6 billion in federal contracts with his various companies. He now, even on a read-only mode, knows everything about every other federal contractor, some of whom are competitors. He knows every single thing about them, when they get paid, what they get paid.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked President Trump's plan to push out federal employees by offering them financial incentives. On a party-line vote, the Senate confirmed Russell Vought as budget director. We have more from CBS's Stacey Lynn.
He was one of the architects of Project 2025. And even though Democrats warned he was Trump's most dangerous nominee, he was confirmed and returns to lead OMB for a second time. He'll play a key role in implementing the president's goals, developing the White House's budget, policy priorities, and rules.
With nationwide egg shortages and shoppers hoarding, some Costco stores are now limiting egg sales to 3 cartons per person. 10,000 grocery store workers are on strike in the Denver area, claiming illegal negotiating practices by the King Soopers store chain, which the company denies. Kim Cordova is president of United Food and Commercial Workers Union Local 7.
Workers told us that the number one issue in these negotiations is the lack of staff. Workers are being asked to do the jobs of 2, 3, 4 workers.
The search for a missing aircraft carrying 10 people across Alaska's Norton Sound south of the Arctic Circle continued into the night with no sign of the plane or passengers found yet. Scientists are watching a recently discovered asteroid large enough to be labeled a city killer.
I'm not worried particularly. It just means we need to pay attention to it. You know, this scale goes from 0 to 10. 0 meaning there's virtually no chance of an impact. 10 meaning a climate-destroying, world-destroying sort of impact. Never seen anything like that since the dinosaurs, obviously.
CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
More trade deals by the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. We told you about the Bucks trading 33-year-old Chris Middleton to the Wizards for two players, Kyle Kuzma and former UWM star Patrick Baldwin. Today, the Bucks sent Baldwin and some cash to the San Antonio Spurs. That opened up a roster spot for Milwaukee, so they traded third-year man Marjon Beauchamp to the Clippers for Kevin Porter Jr., a 24-year-old point guard. Last night, the Bucks added Jericho Sims, a fourth-year center from the Knicks, for guard DeLon Wright. Meanwhile, the Bucks beat the Hornets last night in Charlotte, 112-102. That ended a four-game losing streak. Afterwards, Brook Lopez talked about when he learned that the team had traded Chris Middleton.
I wasn't aware of it until Doc mentioned it at film session, so it definitely hit me as a shock. You know, known Chris for a long time now. You know, I've got to know him personally, so I had to fight from tearing up a little bit. Honestly, you know, it's an emotional moment for me.
That's the Bucks' Brook Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Conrad Krieger. For your superhero fans and animation lovers, Invincible Season 3 has come out on Prime Video. It follows Mark Grayson, Stephen Yang, as an average teenager who discovers he's a son of the all-powerful Omni-Man. Soon after, he learns that he has powers too, when he finds out his father was actually sent to enslave the Earth and not protect it. He's forced to choose between humanity and family. The show has debuted with a 100% fresh critic score. Get all of Season 3 on Prime Video. The first trailer for Marvel's Fantastic Four, First Steps, has dropped, seeing Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm, and the Bears' Ebon Moss-Bachrach becoming Ben Grimm, a.k.a. The Thing. It's a fast trailer that shows what you can expect from CGI to the cast as the characters. Check out the trailer on YouTube. Fantastic Four First Steps hits theaters July 25th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars, a few clouds around in the overnight. A decreasing breeze as lows drop to between 0 and 5 above. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Friday with highs in the upper teens to around the 20-degree mark. Winter storm watch goes into effect Friday night. Currently 8 degrees.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 2.5 weeks into the Trump administration, we're going to talk to Randy Manner, retired Major General from the U.S. Army, and get some of his impressions. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Mattenair on Air. Jane Mattenair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you do not have the Civic Media app, you should get it.
Download it right now.
Download it. It's completely free. Go to your app store. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download our free Civic Media app. You can sign up for news updates in your local community. We have news reporters all over the state. So whether you're in Amory or here in Racine or possibly Oshkosh. You can sign up and have news that is curated to your community.
What was the town that we thought was Muscaday?
It's Muscaday.
Muscaday. What did we?
It's spelled Muscoda.
Muscoda. Yeah. Well, I always say Shawano.
It's Shawano.
I know. But if you live in those places,
you can get news about your community.
Heck yeah.
In Muscaday. So download the Civic Media app today. It is completely free. Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk weather with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist for weather and wine. We do have some weather coming in on Saturday. That's gonna looks like it's gonna affect the entire state. So stick around for that. 11:30, Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan will be here. We'll talk about the big game on Sunday. Of course, we're talking about the Puppy Bowl. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do.
Bark. With,
this shouldn't be a thing. How long has Louis DeJoy been in charge? Edition.
It's such a long time.
I know. It doesn't exactly flow, but that's what we came up with. That will wrap up the show around 11:51. In less than 2 weeks, we will be heading to the polls. You can actually early vote right now if you haven't done so yet. And on the ballot for February 18th, we have three people running to head the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin. Among them, education consultant Brittany Kinzer.
Mm-hmm.
However, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Kelly Meyerhofer with the byline, Kinzer has never held a Wisconsin teacher's license. Her administrator's license lapsed last summer. Her campaign says it doesn't matter because the state's superintendent job doesn't require office holders to have an educator's license. Her people say Brittany Kinzer is more than qualified to be superintendent. 25 years of experience as a special ed teacher, principal, educational consultant, and CEO of a Milwaukee education advocacy nonprofit. I think it's important to note that education advocacy group was pro-charter and voucher schools.
Yeah.
So this is my question.
Okay.
Do we want a big proponent of voucher and charter schools to be running the public education system in Wisconsin? It seems like she has bias towards charter and voucher schools.
It definitely
would we put her in charge of the Department of Public Education to determine what our public schools should do? Unless it's just to disband.
Yeah. Will she do to the DPI what Trump is trying to do to the Department of Education right now? I mean, it definitely seems like there's an agenda there. And yeah, so yeah, you don't have to be a licensed teacher to run the DPI. Guess what? Anyone in the building we're in right now can be appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States because you don't have to be a judge or a lawyer. But you know what? I want someone with good experience, with a mission of good education for kids, not pushing the agenda of increasing the second school system that I'm already paying for.
Exactly. We are paying for two school systems.
Yep, and let no one tell you differently.
Yeah, don't let anybody tell you otherwise. We are absolutely funding two separate school systems, one for public education, the other for charter and voucher schools, which are private and which, if I understand correctly, do not have to follow the same standards or results as our public schools do, and yet they are getting our tax dollars.
Yes, they are. And there are fabulous ways to wiggle out of having the students you don't like and keeping the money. I mean, you could honestly talk about this for hours, and people can with a great deal of intellect. But what I'm saying right now is what you're saying. This person seems to be pushing an agenda that is to essentially strip away our public schools, demolish them down to the ground, and put all the kids in some sort of private voucher, which
religious,
which you will pay for, which I don't know if you know this, but they're not cheap. One and two, I don't know if you agree with them either. Like, you agree with these institutions? I mean, I went to Catholic school. That's fine.
So did I.
But I don't think every kid belongs in Catholic school.
And as you said, too, and I've seen other state lawmakers point this out, and as you just pointed out, voucher schools and charter schools can refuse any kid they want.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of hand.
Yes. Yep.
Or they can accept that student, take the taxpayer money, and then expel the student.
Exactly.
And keep the money.
Yes. That is a big deal. That is something that you have... And what do they base it on? Handbooks, guidelines, whatever. They're a private school. They don't have to answer to Madison.
They don't have to answer to anybody.
But most importantly, they don't have to answer to DPI because they are private. So, hey, does your kid want to come to our school via vouchers? That's great. Oh, is your son queer? Well, he can't stay, but I'm going to keep that check. And that's taxpayer money. That is your money.
It's our money. Brittany Kinzer's two challengers, incumbent Jill Underlie and Sauk Prairie School District Superintendent Jeff Wright, say her expired licenses raise some questions about whether or not she is fit to lead Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction. Again, if I understand correctly, her last couple of jobs were advocating for charter schools and voucher schools, mm-hmm. which is why I question why she would be a good fit to run our Department of Public Instruction, which handles public schools. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thank you for joining us.
I just want to make a comment that Trump is now trying to do away with the Department of Education. And he's saying, well, the states should be in control. But the problem is that everybody in the state doesn't have the option of having a voucher program.
Right.
Yeah.
We need the public schools. And if the state is putting control, that is going to be just like the abortion thing. Women's rights are going to be taken away. Well, if states control of education, children's rights are going to be taken away. Children who have difficulties in school, who may need the disabilities, extra help.
Right.
Their rights are going to be taken away. We have to speak up, and we can't allow that to happen.
Really appreciate that, Ollie. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for checking in. Yeah, I agree. Again, why would we put someone in charge of public schools who advocates for private charter and voucher schools? That doesn't make any sense to me.
And I know that if you go to this week's episodes of Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, you can hear him interviewing both Jill Underly, who is the incumbent, as well as Jeff Wright, who is challenging in the primary. Both sat down and talked to Pat for an interview. As far as I know, what's her name again? Her name
Brittany.
Is Brittany has not responded or canceled interview requests because my guess is this is a hard agenda to defend. And I just want to remind people, if you don't believe us, I'm going to put in the show notes today a webpage from the Wisconsin Education Network that breaks down county by county, community and school district, how your taxpayer funding dollars are going to private vouchers. It will tell you how much of that money, and you will be shocked, I'm sure. Burlington, not that big, $1.8 million of taxpayer money goes to vouchers in Burlington.
That's a lot of money.
That's a ton of money. Ton of taxpayer money.
And again, they do not have to report or follow the same guidelines that our public schools do.
Nope.
Doesn't seem like there's any oversight.
I'd say yes. I'd say little to none.
Little to none.
It's decorative.
And as we've got Rob texting in, my concern too, and as Ollie pointed out, rural areas don't have that many options for schools.
Yep.
And in many instances in our small towns in Wisconsin, the public school is it.
Yep.
And the public school is the center of the community. They don't have options. They don't have three other options for charter schools or voucher schools if you're living in a town of 1,200.
Yeah. Don't worry. They'll build one, I guess. I have no idea. But it's just
if they're going to allow people to make money off of it and they're going to privatize all of our schools, then maybe you will get a few pop up in some of these smaller communities if they can make money.
Exactly.
But you're going to have enough kids to make it worth their while.
Do you honestly know what this sounds like to me? A weird version of the private prison system. We're going to privatize our schools. We're going to stuff as many kids in there as possible. The more kids, the more money. The education, that's like fourth, fifth on the list. We don't have to worry about that. But that taxpayer money is going to go to real good private schools.
We're talking about Brittany Kinzer and the other two people running to head the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. The primary, less than 2 weeks away, mm-hmm. February 18th. It's going to be here before you know it. Take part. Get involved.
Yes.
Neither of us have kids.
Nope.
That's not, I don't care. I will be voting and casting my ballot in this election.
Yep.
I care about other people's kids.
I do too. And if my tax dollars are going to go to education, I want to go to good education available to all without the hoops of vouchers or charter schools. I want them to go to good public schools. And some people say that's impossible at this point. I don't think so.
I don't think it is either.
No.
When we return, Brittany Merlot will be here with a little weather and wine. We have some snow coming in, and it sounds like it's going to be affecting most of Wisconsin on Saturday. Prepare yourself. I hope you didn't put the shovel away just yet. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. James said. James
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet,
yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform shedding more listeners than a husky blowing its winter coat. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Good morning, lady. How are you?
Good morning, Jane. I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful, except for, and I know you're happy about this because that's fine.
Saturday?
No judgment. No judgment. But yes, you're happy about Saturday because it looks like the whole state's going to get snow, right?
Pretty much. I would say maybe the exception of the state line, very, very south along the Illinois border, you might just get a trace to a half an inch. That kind of includes Madison, too. So very, very dry air on that area. But the rest of the state, oh, absolutely, we're going to get hit. Probably the biggest storm of the season.
Seriously. And what time is it going to start on Saturday? And who's going to get it the worst or the best, depending upon how you want to look at it?
All right. So this storm is going to be moving into the northwestern areas. This will be around midnight as we push into Saturday. So overnight, it is going to be spreading widespread. It'll start off light, and it'll start to ramp up, though, throughout the afternoon and wind down by the evening. It looks like probably by dark, it should stop. But this means all day Saturday, the roads are going to be absolutely terrible for a majority of the states. And the temperatures are going to be in the teens to 20s. So it's going to be a light, fluffy type of snow that's going to be blowing and drifting around, recovering roads. And also at those temperatures, salt doesn't like to work too much.
It's too cold.
So, yeah.
Well, that will make my husband happy because he's one of those people that will bring out the leaf blower.
I love it.
I know.
Why didn't I ever think of that?
But he's tried that a couple times when it's the wrong kind of snow. It's like, yeah, you're going to stand there all day. That's not going to help
funny.
You. But it sounds like Saturday it might be the kind of stuff where you can just, you know, blow it off a little bit.
I bought a snowblower.
Good for clearing, but also, you know, a pain when the winds are a little feisty too.
Yeah.
They're not looking too bad, not like today. Today's the worst day for the winds, so...
Well, Robin Tigerton said the wind machine is kicking up in the Tigerton area. I bet many snowplow operators are excited about Saturday to make some money plowing snow.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Oh, yes. And we have also got the snowmobile trails opening as well. I think Oneida County opens tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And then with the added snowfall, I would figure a ton more are going to be following by Sunday.
Well, do you have any guesses on snow totals, Brittany?
Yeah, so we're looking at a good 5 to 8 inches. And that looks pretty much from, I would say, the Eau Claire area, pretty much from Minneapolis, Eau Claire, down to La Crosse, and it shoots across the state into Wausau, the Dells area, and kind of continues into the Fox Valley. Green Bay's in the target, Manitowoc, Sheboygan, you're right on that line. And of course, these systems keep wanting to slide a little bit south. So Milwaukee, I would probably keep a heads up just in case your totals increase.
All right.
Well, now I'm going to have to go grocery shopping tomorrow. Right? Because that's what's going to happen tomorrow is everyone's going to go to the store, because if you're not going to be able to get out on Saturday, and then the big game is on Sunday, so you got to have the meatballs ready.
That's true. I'd go to the store today. Beat the crowd.
That's a very good idea, Brittany.
Just have them deliver it to your house.
Brittany Merlot is our guest. She's civic media meteorologist, talking a little bit about the winter storm we have coming up on Saturday. And I did want to ask you this, Brittany. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but Elon Musk's minions barged into NOAA yesterday, just like they did the Treasury Department, mm-hmm. and essentially said, give us all your information. I just want to talk to you, a meteorologist, about how important the data that you get from the National Weather Service. How important is that data? What does that do for your job?
Oh, everything for my job. It's how I decipher what I'm going to tell you, how things are changing, what we're looking forward to. I look at this constantly to see how many snowstorms do we get. Like right now, we're short four storms. Four of them have just gone MIA. I would not know that if I didn't have the data from the National Weather Service and NOAA. We would be sitting here like, yeah, it kind of seems like a little bit less. But I can actually give you the facts, the stats. I can go off old storms, see how they progressed. What did they do? Did they shrink? Did it explode? Who got hit the hardest? Was it a wintry mix? Did ice come from that, you know, last night? We really, really, really look into these storms and that data, and it is going to cripple the industry.
I mean, it's safe to say that if the information was either privatized, made to be bought, or just being changed to, align with agendas, that's not going to make your job easier or help the people anymore by doing those things.
No, they're taking away, you know, key things that we need. Data. Why are you messing with it? And if you're going to downsize, why are you downsizing from the top? Everyone's relying on that. Those people are needed. I don't know. It's a shame. I'm upset.
Well, Project 2025 always talked about privatizing the National Weather Service. And we talked about paying for your forecasts and things like that. That might be coming. This doesn't seem like a positive, but we'll keep our eyes on it. And for right now, we know you can count on her data. Brittany Merlot, civic media meteorologist, snow queen, as I understand Pat Kreitlow calls you in the morning. So on up
DJ Flip Mix.
That too.
Thanks a lot, Brittany. We will see you next week. Stay tuned. We have news coming up next. And when we return, we're talking all things sports from the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan. Of course, the big game on Sunday. There's also, that football game, but the Puppy Bowl is on Sunday. And there were some big trades with the Milwaukee Bucks. Not everybody is happy. That's all coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills is the AP's NFL Most Valuable Player.
I know this is an individual award and it says Most Valuable Player on it, but I think it's derived from team success, and I love my team.
Bad on NFL Network and Fox TV. Lawsuits by state attorneys general are piling up against Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports they're concerned personal data being accessed by the Musk team at the Treasury Department is being done by violating privacy laws.
They will file suit in the coming days to try to block DOGE's access, believing it's an extra legal or illegal attempt to potentially jeopardize the personal data of Americans.
With eggs in short supply because of bird flu, some customers are hoarding them. Mike Hahn went to Costco to stock up.
All the egg substitutes were gone. Everything was gone at 10 o'clock. Not fair to the people who can't be here because they're working at 9 a.m. in the morning.
Some Costco stores are now limiting shoppers to 3 cartons. CBS News Brief, I'm Michael Toscano.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
More trade deals by the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. We told you about the Bucks trading 33-year-old Chris Middleton to the Wizards for two players, Kyle Kuzma and former UWM star Patrick Baldwin. Today, the Bucks sent Baldwin and some cash to the San Antonio Spurs. That opened up a roster spot for Milwaukee, so they traded third-year man Marjan Beauchamp to the Clippers for Kevin Porter Jr., a 24-year-old point guard. Last night, the Bucks added Jericho Sims, a fourth-year center from the Knicks, for guard DeLon Wright. Meanwhile, the Bucks beat the Hornets last night in Charlotte, 112-102. That ended a 4-game losing streak. Afterwards, Brooke Lopez talked about when he learned that the team had traded Chris Middleton.
So I wasn't aware of it until Doc mentioned it at a film session, so it definitely hit me as a shock. You know, known Chris for a long time now, you know, I've got to know him personally. So I had to fight from tearing up a little bit, honestly. You know, it's an emotional moment for me.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Connor Krieger. Well, the big game is this Sunday, and with that comes funny, maybe outdated, and sometimes horrible commercials. A few brands have already rolled out their commercials, like Pringles, who features Adam Brody, that centers on the fear of running out of Pringles. Michelob Ultra takes us to pickleball, where Willem Dafoe and Catherine O'Hara compete as a team for a glass of Ultra. Catch the commercials and maybe Travis Kelce proposing to Taylor Swift after the Super Bowl. Catch it this Sunday at 5:30 p.m. If you're looking to hit the theaters or stay in, here are a couple movies that are releasing this week. Renner, starring Marcia Gay Harden and Frankie Muniz, is about a computer genius that invents an AI life coach to help him find love. But things change when he accidentally programmed his mother into the code. Kinda Pregnant stars Amy Schumer as Lainey. As her plans to settle down and start a family fall apart, she puts a fake baby bump and tells a lie and accidentally falls for her dream guy. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars, a few clouds around in the overnight, a decreasing breeze as lows drop to between 0 and 5 above. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Friday with highs in the upper teens to around the 20-degree mark. Winter storm watch goes into effect Friday night. Currently 8 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet.
Yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a Super Bowl preview party with Brady Ewing and Mike Clemens, and also Peter Rapine gives us a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Say. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mock, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit around 11:51, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the How Long Has Louis DeJoy Been in Charge Anyway edition. Not exact, doesn't exactly flow that well, but
I feel like you'd be like...
And you'll get it when we get there. So stick around for that. Right now, though, he joins us every other Thursday from the Acme Packing Company. Joining us today on the phone, Paul Noonan. Good morning, sir, from some mysterious undisclosed location.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I'm actually at McCormick Place in downtown Chicago at the convention center. So
nice.
I have found myself a tucked away tiny corner. And should be good.
Nice quiet corner. Lovely. Well, the big news this morning, Paul, obviously, are the trades among the Bucks. So,
yeah.
The Bucks trade Chris Middleton to the Wizards.
They did. And I think this is probably a sad day for all Bucks fans. It is for me. Chris Middleton is legitimately one of the greatest players in franchise history. He is a leader in most major categories, including three-pointers made, top three in minutes, and more than anything, was legitimately the hero of their title run. Giannis is, of course, the bedrock on which everything else is built, but when Giannis was unable to go, Chris Middleton saved the day. He is the second star, and you always need two on this team. And this is one of those moves where I sort of understand from a logical perspective why it happened. But I do wonder if the Bucks are sort of misjudging their window a little bit with this. So for those who haven't heard about it, they traded Chris Middleton to the Wizards for Kyle Kuzma, who is a good player, a young player, plays the same position as Middleton. What he brings to the table is youth, health, availability, and hopefully can blend with Damian Lillard and Giannis to sort of get them back on track, as now they fall into the fifth spot in the playoffs. This is really a trade where they got someone who's worse than Middleton, kind of across the board. But Chris Middleton had ankle surgery on both of his ankles in the offseason. He really hasn't recovered properly. He's an older player, and he'll probably never be as good as he was again. But when he is on the court, he's better. He just is. So this is trading some efficiency for some availability. And it was a pretty steep price to pay. And, you know, you send a beloved player away for a guy who is also a little bit on the weird side. Kuzma is a big personality. He has an interesting fashion sense. If you Google him and the word fashion, you'll get some fun stuff. But this does keep the Bucks window nominally maybe open a little longer. But I don't know. I have some concerns on this whole thing. I don't know that the Bucks really understand what they are at this point, and this might be kind of a Band-Aid on a broken bone. So sad, paid a lot. I also should mention there were some financial considerations the Bucks were working on, too. The NBA salary cap is 10 times as complicated as any other salary cap in any sport, including the NFL's, which is difficult in and of itself.
Right.
There are two levels that you may go over the salary cap. They're known as aprons. And it's important to understand this because there's new CBA, and the CBA used to not punish you that harshly if you went over it, but the Bucks have been over the second apron, and they needed to cut something like $6 to $7 million to get under it. The penalty for not doing so is that their first-round pick in 2032 becomes frozen, and that may seem like forever and never going to happen, but why it's important is you can't trade it if it's frozen, and the NBA trades happen all the time, and if you can't move picks, it really hurts your roster building. So they had to cut that much money to get that pick unfrozen, or at least have the possibility of having it unfrozen. There's other consequences too. If they were over the apron too many times, that pick would become a 30th or worse pick when it actually came up. By doing this, now they can trade picks again, and they can make other moves again. They can do some salary consolidation that they couldn't before. They basically escape a lot of the really heavy penalties that are imposed upon teams over cap. So they were looking at a million ways to get under this apron. I know trading Pat Connaughton was one of the potential things, but you know, you need to have somebody willing to take him in his salary too. And, you know, Middleton, for all of his injuries and lack of availability, is a good veteran presence and a star that you can at least do some selling on. And so that is what came and that is what went. So the Bucks will go forward a little bit younger, a little bit healthier. But when Middleton's out there versus Kuzma being out there, not quite as efficient.
I think they need to make those trade rules even more complicated, Paul, because that's not nearly what a mess. Calvin has been waiting anxiously because he has many thoughts about this. Calvin's a big Bucks fan. What did you want to say about this, Calvin?
Well, I guess I agree with Paul that if you take the names and the emotions and the connections out of it on paper, it sort of borderline makes sense.
That you sound very convinced by that, Calvin.
You should run for political office.
But
that's a perfect summation, honestly.
But when you go deeper than that, Chris Middleton, he is a Milwaukee Buck. So I know it's a business. I know these things happen all the time, but it really just feels disrespectful what we got, what we did to him. Not only the compensation we got for him, but also where we sent him. We sent him to the Washington Wizards, which is a struggling franchise that will always be a struggling franchise, apparently. And it's where veterans go to die.
Oh,
like it's,
yeah.
It was disrespectful from an organizational standpoint.
Yeah. By the way, dovetailing into that a little bit and just how depressing the Wizards are, one of the issues with getting Kuzma back specifically is he had one really good season as a rookie, and he's kind of tailed off as a Wizard. He was a Laker to start off. He ended up on the Wizards, and it kind of looks like he's quit. And I think it's an open question as to whether he can regain his form from a few years ago versus the sort of poor stat lines he's put up recently. He has in the past been a 36% three-point shooter. He's really declined. He's especially declined defensively. And the Wizards kind of do that to guys. So they also form bad habits. I think it's an open question as to whether we get good Kuzma or bad Kuzma. And it really is doing Middleton dirty. That is not a fun place to play. It is a bunch of fairly untalented young players, rookies, and they don't seem to have a good plan there. I don't think Middleton will be there that long. I do think he'll end up being a trade ship after a little while, but he's going to be there for a while. And he really is a Milwaukee Buck, and that was not a nice thing to do to that guy.
I'm forgetting his name right now. He went to the Celtics, but the outpouring of almost mourning on social media for this, because he and Giannis were friends. They had a great relationship. They really worked together well on the court. Yeah. And my question is, you know, if he's this many years into his NBA career, how long does he have to hold on to the Wizards to be traded to maybe a better team? Or will he just retire?
Will that even happen? Yeah.
Will he just retire?
So I do think Chris Middleton's longevity is probably an open question. Ankles do not tend to age well on anybody, and especially as you get older. But I think if he can just hang on for a year, he'll move either actually this offseason or at the next deadline. I don't think he'll be a Wizard very long, one way or another. And if he can hold on, I don't think that he'll be there very long.
Well, he's obviously going to be remembered with a great deal of affection here in Milwaukee. And I read something briefly this morning that said that even Giannis called him the GOAT.
Yeah, those two respect each other a ton. And I think, you know, Giannis is a very smart man. He understands that while he's got his title, he would not have that title without Chris Middleton. They would not have won. They would have dropped that series a couple times.
Calvin?
Well, I just wanted to relate it back to Greg's point about Jrue Holiday. As sad as it was to see Jrue Holiday leave, this is like so much deeper because Jrue Holiday... Yeah. As much as we loved having him in Milwaukee, he never totally felt like a Buck in the same way as Chris Middleton, just in the sense that he wasn't here for as long, and he was traded in with the clear purpose of he's the piece we need to win a championship. And we also set him up very nicely.
Yeah, true.
And he got to go to a contending team.
Yeah, very much so. Some would say better than the Bucks in certain points.
Yes. Indeed, that's true. I agree with that. Like, Middleton's a long time buck. You know, Drew Holiday was a very important player as well for the team. But this is like as core a player as the franchise has ever had. Yeah. And, you know, a very storied one. Like, we've had Ray Allen, we've had Kareem, we've had a ton of great players play for the Bucks over time. Very few have been as successful and played as long as Middleton. That list is like three guys long, and he's probably at the top of it, other than Giannis.
Well, we wish him well.
Yep.
Absolutely wish Chris Middleton well and hope he does well. If you're just joining us, by the way, Paul Noonan is here, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, and he joins us every Thursday to talk all things sports. Before we talk about the important game on Sunday, the Puppy Bowl, let's talk about the matchup between the Eagles and the Chiefs.
We've seen the Super Bowl already, and I was really hoping for any other Super Bowl to have happened. And I do. So greatness is fine, but greatness actually, I feel like, does get a little bit boring after a while. I feel like the Patriots dynasty got a little boring for people after a while when they had the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback. And the Chiefs are really threatening that at this point, who also have the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback of modern times. It should be a pretty close matchup, but this is not like the most explosive offenses. It's one of the more down offenses the Chiefs have possessed. It's very pass heavy, as you would expect. But a lot of their stars moved on. It's kind of old man Kelsey and Mahomes and a bunch of okay guys. And the Eagles are not an explosive offense. I know they lit up Washington because they can run the ball really well, and Washington can't stop the run. But their passing attack is very medium, and it's hard to run the ball against Kansas City. This is a sort of oddly a defense versus defense Super Bowl. I don't wager on sports myself, but I do like the under in this game. I think the Chiefs will have a really good shot to shut the Eagles' offense down. They're very, very good at playing, at stopping guys who excel at man. The Chiefs are very good at stopping that. And, I mean, forced to pick a team, it's hard to bet against Mahomes and Reed in a clutch game. They just come up, you know, they come up big every single time they're put in the situation, in the Chiefs era anyway. I do think it'll be kind of a grind game. So I've looked forward to Super Bowls more than this one. I wish somebody would knock those guys off.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a really defensive-focused game.
I mean, well, that could make for exciting stuff, then. I mean, if it's a low-scoring, high-defense game, that can make it fun to watch, and not just for the commercials. But the question I have is if Kansas City wins, will Kelsey retire? I mean, that'll be, what, his third or fourth Super Bowl ring? And, you know, you just referred him as old man Kelsey, so it might be time for him to join his brother full time in endorsing everything that's on television.
It might be. Everything he's indicated so far is that he would like to come back again. And he's such a clever, like, quick tight end. Yeah. He's definitely lost some speed since over the last 2 years, for sure. You can see him not as fast, but he's still good. So I think he's not really in it. He doesn't have to. If he wants to come back for another run, he totally can. He is a clever route runner, and those guys age well. But it might be the last we see of Travis Kelce, but I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back for one more run.
Gotcha.
Just about out of time, Paul. Real quickly, the Lombardi Trophy is is up for grabs this weekend. So are you leaning Team Ruff or Team Fluff this year?
Always Team Fluff.
Team Fluff.
The cute ones, they take you by surprise.
Cool.
I heard Team Fluff is doing the drugs.
Yeah. Go Team Fluff.
You heard it. Field. You want the small quick. You don't want the big lumbering.
Paul Noonan knows his Puppy Bowl, man. I'm telling you. Thank you so much, Paul. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, all.
Stay with us. We're going to return and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet,
yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Friday, so Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and also the author and founder of the Recombobulation Area. He will join us right after 11 o'clock. He has a new column out about Donald Trump's victory and how he think the Republicans were able to achieve that victory, kind of changing their tactics a little bit. So I'm sure we will be breaking that down with Dan Schaefer tomorrow. In hour number one tomorrow, Randy Manner is going to join us.
Yeah.
He is a retired major general in the United States Army. We talked a lot to him leading up to the election. And now that Donald Trump has been in office for all of 2.5 weeks and he is dismantling, it looks like, numerous agencies, including this USAID. And I'm sure Randy worked with many agencies providing assistance overseas during his 30-year career in the Army. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that with him, what this means, and which country does this benefit? If we remove ourselves from offering aid in these instances, who's going to move in and be the good guy if we're not going to be?
Yeah.
And it's China.
Oh, boy.
So he will be joining us tomorrow right after the 10:30 news. I hope you can join us for that. Don't forget, you can always listen to us as a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss the show, just go to civicmedia.us. At the very top, it says shows. Click on shows. Go to Matt Nair on Air, and that will take you to like 100 previous episodes.
Yeah, you'll get quite a few months back. And you can also go to your podcast distribution center of choice and download it and subscribe to the show as a podcast.
That'd be great.
You can review us, give us 5 stars if we deserve it. Love to hear from you. Drop a note. Join us.
It is 11:54, Calvin. That means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Today, it is the How Long Has Louis DeJoy Been in Charge edition of this shouldn't be a thing. By the way, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the Independent. Byline for Sydney Page from the Washington Post. Headline reads, Michigan woman receives 100-year-old postcard in the mail. We've all seen mail get delayed for weeks, but 100 years, that's really something. When Brittany Keach checked her mailbox one morning, she found the usual junk mail. Also included in that, a tattered and time-worn postcard. The 30-year-old from Belding, Michigan said, at first I didn't think much about it other than it looked old. Then I took a closer look. She spotted a 1 cent George Washington stamp. Postmarked October 29th of 1920. She got this 100-year-old piece of mail on September 8th. On the front of the postcard, it's Halloween related. Which would you rather be, W-I-T-C-H? Which would you rather be, a pumpkin head or a witch? She said it appears to be addressed to a Mrs. Roy McQueen. So she's trying to find people who this might belong to. The postcard was signed by Flossie. Doesn't get better than that. The postcard signed by Flossie Burgess.
Oh!
Flossie Burgess. She's decided she will try to reunite the long-lost postcard with the family to whom it was originally sent. She did post this on Facebook. She quickly found out that others were interested in uncovering the origins of this and how 100 years later it ended up in the right mailbox.
Yeah.
It was the right address.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple hundred, 100 years late.
Well, you know, better late than never. It gets there eventually. Hopefully it's not like, the ingredients to an antidote.
True.
Yeah.
Or medication.
Yeah.
But I guess that's Louis DeJoy's new slogan for the post office. It might not be on time, but it'll get there in 100 years.
We'll get it to you.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah, just be patient.
Wraps up today's edition of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up next, we have news on the way, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. in hour number two. Like we do, Todd tries to lighten it up a little bit with what's worse. You never know what it's going to be. It's always a lot of fun. Join Todd for that. Maggie Dawn takes over from 2 to 4. Dom Salvia, 4 to 6. Pete Schwabba, you might be pinch hitting for tonight.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see.
6 to 8 p.m. with Night Lights. Pat Kreitlow, of course, Up North News Radio, gets things started early from 6 to 8 a.m. And then Earl Ingram right before us from 8 a.m. until 10. We will be back with you tomorrow morning. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have a chance to share it. Stay close. News next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Max Inc. has a super show this weekend. Join us as we welcome The Flavor That Kills, Rob Dees and the Steepwater Band. Plus, we'll talk weather with Rippyology. Saturday and Sunday evening at 6, it's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The Trump administration is moving rapidly to turn the U.S. prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, into a massive immigration detention complex.
According to DHS officials, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem is planning on visiting Guantanamo Bay today to assess the administration's efforts to convert the U.S. naval base into a large-scale detention center that can hold as many as 30,000 migrants. So far, two U.S. military flights with nearly two dozen detainees with alleged ties to a notorious Venezuelan prison gang have been sent this week. Officials familiar with the deliberations tell CBS News the plan is to send flights on a daily basis. Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Attorneys general from Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Connecticut are joining 18 others with lawsuits against President Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.